Because when I was out there guarding this area, I had 5 mile perimeter to guard. And
when you say I had a 5 mile perimeter, you alone or were there others?
Me alone.
So you had to march 5 miles?
Yep, I had to walk 5 mile perimeter. Another guy had 5 mile perimeter. Another guy had 5 mile perimeter. So
did you have any means of communication in case you saw something?
Oh yeah, pack radio.
Okay.
And while I was out there, I was walking around. I come around, and there was like two outhouses in the area I was guarding. I heard noises out in the wood, like, you know, the bushes move, you know, bushes moving and voices. So I crouched down behind the outhouses. And these three civilians came running out of the woods. I jumped out, told them to stop. You know, I yelled, halt, we all shoot. Like I was supposed to. We had orders to shoot to kill everything or anything that moved. Well, the one guy had a shotgun. The other two standing on either side of him, they were really scared. You know, they were yelling, they got our buddy, they got our buddy, we got to get out of here, let's run, let's run. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? What's going on? You know, you guys aren't, nobody's supposed to be out here. Our orders were that this area was supposed to be sealed off. So there wasn't supposed to be any civilians or any planes flying over or anything like that. And if anything showed up, we were supposed to shoot it. And we all had live ammo. What we would do is in cases like that, when we went out, we'd go into our ammo, we take one out, load it, shoot at a tree, make sure it's live. If it's live, then we know we're out on doing something real. Well, they started talking to me, telling me that, you know, their buddy was captured, and I was like, captured. And I started to notice this thing off to the side of me, this light. I'm trying to keep an eye on them.
What time of day or night is this?
This was, I didn't have a watch, so I don't know. It was late. It was dark.
Would you think it's close to midnight or
close to about 11, 12?
Yeah, somewhere along in there. Okay, I mean deep in the heart of the night. Then, in other words, all of a sudden you see the bushes rushing out. Here comes three guys in civvies.
Mm-hmm.
What do they have on, jeans or something?
Jeans, you know, like flannel shirts. They were hunting.
Uh huh. Okay, you saw this light, you said?
Yes. I saw this light. I was, you know, trying to keep my eye on them because the guy's got a shotgun. I don't want to take my eye off him. I have my M16 trained on him, so I'm trying to catch what it is out of the corner of my eye. When I caught it, this thing. It looked just like the what everybody describes as an alien, and he was floating a few feet off. There were bleachers there. He was floating a few feet off the top bleacher. I'm staring at it. I'm trying to keep an eye on these guys at the same time, thinking to myself, what the hell? I'm looking, thinking to myself, this is a hologram. This is a joke. These guys are trying to pull a fast one on me.
Yeah, in other words, you're still in that training the mode. You're thinking
exactly. It looked like a hologram. It did not look real because it had a weird glow about it. And it was floating around, and it was moving like a rubbery, you know, rubbery type of movement.
Like kind of drifting or shimmering in the wind.
Exactly.
Like you say, like the Batman light, you know, that goes up against the clouds. In other words, it wasn't quite real.
Exactly. What got me was, you know, I'm talking to them, they're saying shoot it, and I'm saying I ain't gonna shoot it. It's not even real. It's a hologram. So I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to communicate to it. I'm not sensing any communication coming back at me.
What were you saying, howdy, or halt, or what were you doing? Do you remember?
I was asking, well, what are you? Who are you? What, you know, what do you want? I didn't get no answer back. So I'm standing there, and next thing I know, the thing's face to face with me. It was like, in an instant, we're locked eye to eye, and I'm looking at it, and that's when I realized, and I started shaking, that this thing's real. And then, next thing I know, it's back at the top of the bleacher, looking at me.
Kind of like, for lack of a better term, I guess, somewhat like they do on these music videos now. Zoom, it's there, and bang, it's back out there. Zoom, it's here, and it was there, right?
Exactly.
Just like that.
Exactly, and it was pretty scary, because I was like, whoa. outside. They're yelling to shoot it, and I'm yelling, I'm not going to shoot it. It's not doing nothing wrong. I'm still trying to communicate with this thing and get it to communicate back to me. You know, I'm telling you, I don't want to hurt you, you know, but if you don't do something here, I got to do something back. It darted back at me, then back up to the bleachers. And then when it darted at me the third time, I just had this really scary feeling it was going to hurt me. And it darted back to the bleachers, and that's when I shot at it. And it moved so quick, I missed it. I stepped back thinking to myself, oh no. I just, out of nowhere, I just put it up, put my M16 up, took off another shot, and hit it right between the eyes. And things, I never heard a scream like that before. It wailed and just hit the ground behind the bleachers. And the three civilians started yelling and screaming, we gotta run, we gotta run, there's gonna be more. I was like, I couldn't run. Because, you know, that's my post, I'm supposed to stay there, and I was dedicated.
Now, when this thing wailed, when you hit it, it was a scream of pain, only it was ungodly or something, and it was just one scream and then it was silent, or did it moan when it hit the ground?
It was just one scream, and then it was silent, and then it hit the ground.
Wow.
I watched the back of its head come off. It just... I never heard a scream like that before. It went right through me, and I mean, I was shaking. I told them, if you guys want to run, go ahead, run. You know, I can't go. I got to stay here, you know. I'll just call it in, they'll come out. This is my thinking. So I go behind the bleachers, and it's still got that glow. You can see the glow off into the, you know, the weeds. So I'm going into the weeds, and I get to go, I'm getting closer and closer, and I catch out of the other corner of my eye now, these three things coming at me. So I think it's the civilians. And I go to them, oh, I thought you guys were going to run. And the next thing I know, I catch what it is. It's three aliens coming, and they're grabbing me. The next thing I know, I'm up off the ground. I'm being floated towards this light that was almost blinding.
When they jerked you up, could you feel any strength from them, like hands around you, or can you even recall that? I mean, that's got to be pretty scary.
It was pretty scary, but at the same time, for some reason, all of a sudden, I wasn't afraid. I couldn't feel their hands, but I know they were carrying me because I remember them grabbing me, and I was up in the air. I'm going towards the light. I'm not worried, but...
Had you dropped your weapon by this time?
I can't remember that part.
Okay.
I had a pack radio on me. I know it was on my back. They were taking me towards the light. I know I had my M... I'm pretty sure I had my M16 in my hands. And as I'm coming towards the light, I'm starting to hear this really soft voice telling me to lay down. Saying, lay down, don't worry. And I was like, no, I can't lay down. I got my M16 pack radio on my back. I won't be able to get back up. And then I was blanked out after that.
This was a voice inside your head, or literally did you heard a voice?
It was like it was inside my head.
Mm-hmm. Was it a male or a female voice?
It was a male voice. It was soft, but it was...
Kind of like maybe that computer on that movie HAL, you know what I'm talking about, the male voice that says, and now things will be all right.
Yes, that wasn't you, was it?
Yeah.
That's almost it.
Just lay down your weapon.
Yeah,
okay, I understand, without emotion.
Yes. It was a lot, but the thing was, I was no longer scared. I wasn't worried, but I just... thought that because my pack radio on my back and the M16, I wouldn't get back up. That was the only thing I was worried about at that time. Then, after that, the only thing I remembered at the time was I was on the ground, I was getting up, and this light was so blinding, and then it just started disappearing through the trees. I got up, and I had this stuff I thought was water at first. I was trying to get it off, rub it off me, but it was like... it felt like water, looked like water, but when I rubbed it, it was like goo. It wasn't sticky or anything, it's just watery. It was thick water.
So probably this rubbed off from the space guys.
I have no idea.
I mean, I've had many people on my show over the years, and some of them say there's kind of a mucus type substance that is left behind after they're touched.
I was covered from head to toe.
All of you, huh?
Yes.
With a slime.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that too much of a word? Maybe it was somewhere in between slime and just moisture.
Yes, because it wasn't. It was weird. It wasn't globbing. It wasn't a substance that was sticky or anything. It was just when you rubbed it off, it became more than it was on your body. I'd be rubbing it off down my arm, and it'd be piling up, and then it would just disappear. It just started disappearing off me. Then next thing I know, it was dry. But after that, when I was finally dry, which I don't know how that happened, because I could have sworn I was wet, I started puking, I started urinating and shitting. I couldn't stop. I was out there, I was sick, crawling around, puking.
So in other words, you had no bodily function control all of a sudden, and you were sick, and you were just grotesquely sick.
Yeah, exactly. And it wouldn't stop. And then when it did stop, I went over to my pack radio, which was no longer on my back. It was sitting there. I was like, But I was in a daze. I couldn't remember what happened between anything. I just remember coming up off the ground at the time, and that light. And when I went to grab my pack radio and start, talking into it, I wasn't getting nothing. It wasn't working. I checked to see if the batteries were still in there. There were batteries in it. I took them out, rearranged them. I took it apart, looked at it, to see if any wires were broken. Nothing was broken. Put it all back together. I tried again. It still didn't work. And I was getting this, I was getting this weird feeling that something was going to happen.
Now, as far as you could tell, at that moment you were alone again?
Yes.
Okay, we're talking with Ted Steenworth, folks. And this incident happened at what we believe is Fort Benning, Georgia. They took you out in the middle of nowhere, and it's an intriguing story. You had a feeling, a sneaking hunch, something else was going to come together, huh?
That's what I was thinking. All that time was messing with the radio, trying to get it to work. I kept thinking that was something that was going to happen over by the outhouses that were still there. So I went over to the outhouses. I'm looking around. I don't see nothing. I'm looking in the bushes. I don't see nothing. As I'm looking in the bushes, my radio comes on, and they're yelling, "Bravo, Bravo, are you there? Bravo, are you there?" Because that's where I was. Bravo. I was with Bravo Company. And I went over to the radio, and I started yelling at the guy, "What the hell? What's going on here? What just happened?" And the guy yells back, "What do you mean, Bravo?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Where are you?" I said, "Well, I'm where you left me." He goes, "You're not where we left you. For one, you've been missing for 5 hours. We've been out there looking for you." And I was like, "What? Get lost. You ain't been looking for me. I'm right here." I was disoriented. I thought I was there all the time. So they finally found me, took me back to the barracks. When I got back to the barracks, went upstairs, went to sleep, and when they came to wake me up to go back out on guard duty, I wouldn't get up. The sergeant started yelling at me, and all I remember is I couldn't move, I couldn't talk, I was shaking. The sergeant thought I was playing with myself. He goes, "Quit playing with yourself," and he ripped the blankets off me. And he started screaming for the medics. And I didn't understand why. And when the medics came up, they looked at me, and they just grabbed the stretcher, threw me on a stretcher. He was calling on a radio. They pulled up with one of those, looked like a golf cart with a long bed on the back of it. They put me on, while I was on the stretcher and me onto the back of it. And I asked where I was going. They said, "We're taking you to the chopper that's waiting to take you to the hospital. You're in really bad shape. Look at you." I can't see myself. And that was it. I passed out from there. And I don't remember getting to the chopper. I don't remember the chopper taking me to the hospital. All I know is I came to at the hospital to the chaplain giving me my last rites. And when I opened my eyes, in the middle of him giving me my last rites, he slammed the book shut and looked at me in a daze. Him and the orderly that was standing there, he looked at the orderly, looked at me, looked back at the orderly and said, "Hurry, get the doctor, quick, he's back." And then they looked at me again, and the chaplain looked back at the orderly and said, "Oh, I mean, you know what I mean, just hurry up, go get the doctor." I looked, I was laying down on the bed by a window in the hospital. When I looked, that was on my right, the window. When I looked to my left, there were other beds with other people in them, and they were in prone positions looking up at the ceiling with their eyes closed. I asked them what's going on. I said, "Don't worry about it, don't worry about it." The doctor came back, the orderly came back with the doctor. The doctor just said, "Oh, are you okay? How you feel? This and that." I said, "Okay, why? What's going on?" And he wouldn't tell me. He said, "Well, you got to go and take a shower and get out of that gown. You've been sick, you've been sweaty and all that." I was like, "Okay." I walked by the beds looking at these guys, and they didn't look lively. They were laying there, prone, staring at, with their eyes shut, face towards the ceiling.
So some sort of makeshift morgue, I guess.
That's what I realized later. Because when I was in the bathroom, the orderly came in, handed me a gown, handed me stuff to take a shower with, because there was no toilet paper or anything in that bathroom. So I went in the shower, took the shower, got dried off, put my gown back, put another gown back on. I went to go out the door. The door was locked. I started yelling, "Yo, what's going on?" All I could hear was movement in there. And I said, "Don't worry, don't worry. Just hold on. Wait a minute. We're changing your bed. We're changing the sheets." So I'm waiting and waiting, and I really started getting nervous because I could hear, the beds were moving in there. I'm just come out of whatever it was. I know I was dead because it was giving me my last rites. And I started figuring that these other guys were dead. And I started getting really nervous, started pounding on the door, kicking it, and finally one of the guys came in and said, okay, calm down, you can come out now, we're ready. When I came out, there were beds there, all made up, but empty.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back to follow this up, and I know you've had a lot of strange things happen since that time, and we'll get into that too as well. Ted Steamworth is our guest. And you can read about him on the web at tediv.com. Is that correct?
.net.
And the name of the book again is... What's the name of the book?
Incident at Godforsaken Unspecifiedville.
Okay, Ted, we're going to take about a 6 or 7 minute break, and we'll be back with you, okay? Okay, folks, and we'll open up the phone lines as well. 682-2233, 682-2233, area code 918.